Well, good morning again. Let's take our Bibles and we're going to read an opening verse, a few verses that are kind of the overarching truth for the day, and then I will spend time on a number of other passages. But turn to Matthew chapter 5. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to see what Jesus says after the Beatitudes. He instantly goes to how the Christian's life is to shine forth. We've been singing today, channels only. Take my life and let it be. That's really what Jesus is saying here. So look at Matthew chapter 5 and let's pick it up in verse 13 and we'll read 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We'll stop there. 2 weeks ago, I asked the question, what does a Christian look like? And for those of you who weren't here, we're not talking about fashion and clothing and some sort of a physical look. What does a Christian life look like? And I noted that in the New Testament, it is abundantly clear what a Christian is to look like and does look like. A Christian is different because of the grace of God in their life. Active, real, miraculous grace. The grace of God. Because if a Christian is born of the Holy Spirit, they walk in newness of life. Yes, they walk in this. They live it. That's what the emphasis is. They live out who they are in Christ. So how is this seen in a Christian? It's not just a concept, it's real. And we are looking at this in three areas. I've already covered one. 2 weeks ago I covered part one called, How Does a Christian Speak? Today, God willing, I'll cover How Does a Christian Live? Their conduct, their life. And part three will be next week, How Does a Christian Serve? How do they view serving? So last week on speaking, I didn't know that Lainey wonderfully was going to bring forth that proverb. Ron just did a synopsis of a sermon from 2 weeks ago. Our words, the Christians are to have words as a honeycomb, seasoned with grace, words that give life, healing, truth. But part two is, how does a Christian live? And that's today, the life of a Christian. And in Matthew 5, Jesus emphatically says that the way you live is to be a sermon to those around you. So I ask you, how is your life preaching? You'd probably say like I would. A lot of days I don't think it's doing very good. My sermons aren't very good. But by the grace of God, your life is a sermon and it's to be pronounced or proclaimed to those around you. So don't be discouraged today. Be reminded that God is the one of all grace. And therefore your life is His channel, is His vessel. People do watch and notice your life. I said 2 weeks ago, they hear what we say. They hear what we say. They hear what we say, how we say it. What is our emphasis? And people watch your life. Oftentimes, saints, it's the only real view of Christianity they're going to get. People watching the life of a Christian. Because oftentimes, or most of the time, people are not real interested in hearing preaching. They're not. And many times people are not interested in reading God's Word. But they'll see your life. They'll see any Christian's life. Doesn't matter if you're 2 years in the faith, 22 years in the faith, or 52 years. Our lives are sermons to those around us. That's what Jesus is saying. ye, as in you, are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men. So, beloved, that's what Jesus is saying. That's what the New Testament over and over is saying to us. Your life is to be a gospel message, an open book. You'll hear that phrase. Their life is an open book. Well, hopefully it's the book of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they're to see. A lamp on a stand. I nearly had brought a lamp. We have an old one. And I nearly brought it to put on a stand, a little bit like Mark LaCour, and have one of the young boys go turn all the lights out. We'll turn that lamp on. And get the picture, children. The only light that would be on at that point, perhaps there may be some security lights, but that it's a lamp. It's to be giving out light. It's to be shining forth. That's what Jesus is saying. Throughout the New Testament, Christians are to live and to conduct themselves as vessels, distinct, God-honoring, Jesus Christ-saturated vessels of God. And you see this in phrases like, present yourself. The writer, Paul, Peter, they say things like, present yourself a living sacrifice, right? Let your behavior, the King James reads, let your conversation, what it means is your conduct, your behavior, your manner of life, let it be, and then they go on and give an exhortation. Another one, we are commanded to walk worthy. That's another phrase you'll see. So today, on this topic of how does the Christian live, I'd like to cover it in three areas. How do we walk? How do we live? Schaeffer says, how does he make it famous, this statement? How shall we then live? Is that how he said it? If we're in Christ, we're a new creation, then a miracle has taken place. How shall we then live? Well, let's let the Word of God flow over us today. Point number one will be, we are to walk worthy of Jesus Christ. That's point number one. Point number two, a Christian is to walk in holiness. And point number three, a Christian is to walk as an example. So let me move through these quickly. First, the Christian is to walk worthy of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to you three of Paul's texts on this. You don't have to turn to them. I'll call them out. So just stay with me. We'll move through this quickly. But I want you to hear him say it in three different ways. If we're to walk worthy of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:1. I read it just a little while ago. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That's Ephesians 4:1. Then over in Philippians 1:27. This comes out of the ESV. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's another way he says it, walking worthy. And a third one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into His kingdom and glory. A lot here about walking, isn't there? Walking in a worthy way. A Christian's life, your life, my life, John MacArthur's life, Paul Washer's life, any Christian that's ever lived, is to be worthy of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? That's what Paul is saying. Jesus is saying that in the Gospel of Matthew. There is a parallel, there is a pattern that it shows forth that it's worthy, commensurate to who they are in Christ. It's not to be inconsistent or contradictory. I mean, today in America, everybody or a lot of people just say they're a Christian and they live in all kinds of sin. There's nothing consistent about that life being born again. But the true Christian is walking in a worthy way. It's foundational to their whole manner of living. It shapes what books you buy, what music you listen to, where you go, what do you think about, what do you enjoy in terms of hobbies, entertainment. How you take in the world you're in is guarded or led because you're in Christ and therefore you walk worthy of Him. That's what Paul is getting to. It's not just in a few parts of your life. I get tickled that I've got two or three Bibles in my office. I've got two Bibles in my glove box in my car. It's funny sometimes when people open your glove box or you're in their office, they're going, this guy's got a lot of Bibles around here. Different sizes, different translations, whatever. But the point is, that's what we're about. We're about what's true. And what's true is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The gospel. Our whole life. is to walk worthy of that. Paul uses a strong word, worthy, in the Greek. And here's what it means. The root meaning, or part of the root meaning, is balanced or in balance. Now, you children, have you ever seen when they weigh scales? When I was young, some of us my age and older in here remember how you weigh out candy, flour, sugar, and you weigh scales. And so the root word of walking worthy is, it's to be in balance. Yes, I'm a Christian. Well, then why do you live this way? Yes, I'm a Christian. Christ is in me. I live this way. There's balance. There's reality. There's authenticity. And so the word worthy is about a balance. It's deserving, or it's suitable, or it's fitted. It's fitted to that. This is powerful. So if he's saying walking worthy, he's saying walking consistent to who you are. When I was in my 20s as a younger man and I was in Christ, by the grace of God, I was to be walking in balance. I'm older now. There's things that God has cut off of me. There's things He's added to me. He's taken me on in His grace. But I'm still to be in balance. To be completely in consistent to who I am in Jesus Christ. If you profess Him, your life should reveal it. Spurgeon said it this way. Max sent out some of these quotes a month or so ago. I saw some, I said, that's preaching material right there. Spurgeon said this: the world will not care about my testimony with my lips unless there is also a testimony in my daily life of truth and of holiness. That's true. That's right. So let's think about this walking worthy, or in a worthy manner. I read three passages. Let's just touch on those briefly. Paul said to the Ephesian Christians, and he says to the Denton Christians and any other city in the world today, that they were exhorted to walk worthy of their vocation. Now, the brothers remember at the retreat, we talked about vocation, didn't we? What's vocation? What's other? It's a calling. Sometimes we use vocation as though it's what you do in your career. Your vocation is whatever you're called to. So with a woman in the faith, if she's raising children, or somebody's a missionary, or whatever their life is in Christ, it's their calling. It's their vocation. And so he says, walk worthy of your vocation. Meaning, our practical living is to match our spiritual position, our vocation. Our practical living. Wherever you are, however you're laboring, whatever your day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month activities are, that's your vocation. But your ultimate vocation is, I'm a vessel for Jesus Christ. I'm His. I'm to shine forth as a lamp on a stand, or a city on a hill. And that's what he's saying. Walk worthy of your vocation, what you're about. To live in sin and worldliness does not match that vocation. I mean, employers know this. They train their people to do a certain thing at a certain time with a certain way. That's what they expect. That's consistent with who they are. Companies like to have mission statements. They'll fire people who don't fulfill their mission statements. In Jesus Christ, by His grace, we didn't create the mission statement. He did. He is the mission. And we're in Him. And so we're about Him. And He's in us. So our walk, our day-to-day living, is to be worthy of our vocation. That's why Paul, if you go back to Ephesians, the book, you get to chapter 4, and Paul gives this opening statement to, as he says, I beseech you, I command you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. Where does he go after that? Three chapters on how to live it. You get down to where he says, children be this, fathers be this, husbands be this. He says all of that based upon the reality that that is who we are in Christ. Why is a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church? Because that's his calling. He's to emulate Jesus Christ. Men that read the Scriptures shouldn't have to be told very often, lover is Christ, love the church. It should be in him. He should know that, because he has a Savior that's done that for him. That's why Paul is saying, walk in balance to who you are, what you've been called to. It's an awesome truth when we think about what Paul's saying. It's practical in the day-to-day view of how we live. Walking consistent with who we are. Years ago, I heard Sinclair Ferguson tell a story right at the end of a sermon. It was just phenomenal. And I remember the essence of it, so I won't have many details here. But he was telling a story about in the history of England, the king had daughters. And they were becoming young women. And one night they were preparing them for an event, some sort of an activity. And so they represented their father, right? They represented their kingdom in the one sense because they were a part of it. And as they were preparing the girls for the evening, I can't remember who it was, he said, that turned to them and said, "Remember, girls, royal manners for royal women." Well, Sinclair has a way of letting that just leap out at you. Royal manners for royal women. So, saints, I say to you, worthy living for a worthy Savior. Let it be consistent. Let it be in balance to Him. It's who we're called into. That's Ephesians' exhortation. Let me move on. The second one, the Philippian exhortation. He said, only let your manner of life, the ESV is wonderful on this, your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of these are essentially saying the same thing, but there's some uniquenesses to each of them. One's about the vocation. This is about to walk worthy of the gospel. That's what he says. Worthy. Those who profess Jesus Christ must have a lifestyle that is agreeable with the gospel. I can see a little child raise her hand. Mr. Neely, what is the gospel? If I'm supposed to walk worthy of the gospel, what is the gospel? The good news of Jesus Christ, saving sinners from sin. That's the essence of the gospel. There's good news, lost humanity. God came to rescue sinners. Not just rescue them and get their names in the book of life. Rescue them here, how we live. So if we're going to walk worthy of the gospel, we're going to walk in agreement or in consistency of being called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Because the gospel does that. The good news of Christ. He came to set us free. I came that you might have life. That's what He said. The world has death. Everywhere is death. The news is death. All kinds of cultural things. It just pronounced death, death, death. Jesus has life. So the Christian is to live agreeable or consistent with the gospel. Deduction. Then Christians don't go around lying, cursing, living in immorality, loving evil, on and on. That's not what a Christian would. That's not consistent with the gospel. It's what He's called us out of. He has called us into His kingdom of light. And therefore, the Christian lives a life consistent with the gospel of deliverance. Rescued sinners. So as you grow in grace and God continues to cut off more things and you set aside and you put on, you're walking in consistency with the gospel. I laughingly said years ago, I have my old high school letter jacket. Jake, have you ever seen me wear that thing? I hope you don't. I put it off. That's not the garments I wear anymore. I put on other things. I got it out of the closet a couple years ago, and the kids and the grandkids, Jalen and them, they laughed. I still think that thing's awesome. But it's because it's a point in time. But I don't wear those clothes. I don't wear that letter jacket. It'd be silly, wouldn't it? Paul says, put off and put on. You're walking worthy of the gospel. I don't listen to the same music. I don't say the same things. I don't value the same things. You don't either. You don't either, do you? You esteem things now that you thought was a joke when you were unconverted. Or things that you loved and you served and you worshipped and you gave yourself to, you want no part of it now. Because it's not consistent with the gospel. Your life in all respects must show that you belong to Jesus Christ. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. So that's the second one. This is, again, all of this is under point number one, walking worthy of Jesus Christ. Walk worthy of your vocation, what you've been called to. walk worthy of the gospel. Saints, preach by your life to lost men. Let your light shine. Man, if there's any message that needs to be broadcast in all of humanity for all the ages, it's that, right? That's the lamp on a stand, the lamp forever. Number three, or part number three of this, walking worthy of Jesus Christ, the Thessalonians passage, 1 Thess 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God. Wow. What a statement. To walk worthy of God. All of these are just awesome, aren't they? Overwhelming. And yet, because Christ is in us, it's doable. It's livable. Ye are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I said to a man years ago, he was in our survey department. This is years ago. He owns me. He owns the Christian. Oh, he was struggling with that language. So one time he was gracious enough to come to my office. He said, Philip, I'm struggling with your phrase. He owns you. And I looked at him and I smiled and I said, Gordon, I appreciate your honesty. It says you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in who you are, right? So I think it helped him. Maybe the language was not as strong. I should have been better on that. But the point is, we are in Him. He has purchased us by His own precious blood. He owns us. We're willing bond servants. Our ears have been pierced through, not in cultural rebellion, but in pierced through, and that we're willing servants of His all the days of our life. That's to be walking worthy of God. We view it that way. We love it that way. We wouldn't have it any other way. He's the greatest of masters. He's the greatest of kings. His kingdom is without end. No wonder the apostle said, where else have we to go? You have the words of life. You have it. We're not going anywhere else. Jesus Christ has it. It's all in Him. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Him. So if we're to walk worthy of God, our daily life should honor God the Father. Like an ambassador who represents his king or his president, right? Children, y'all know what an ambassador is? We have ambassadors, right? And they go and they negotiate and they communicate on behalf of our president or our country. You get the picture? You are an ambassador of Christ. We are, in Him, an ambassador of God. What a thought. What a reality. Or, let's get it down to where we live as fathers and as parents. It's like a father who says to his son, you are my son and this is how you should live. Just like the royal daughters. You are royalty. You are His. You should live a certain way to walk worthy of God. Yes. Sons of the Most High. So I ask another question. This walking worthy of our vocation. Walking worthy of God. Walking worthy of the gospel. Does this mean everywhere you go? It does, doesn't it? I asked 2 weeks ago, can you actually give praise to God? I will bless the Lord at all times. Can you do that in a World Series game? Come on now. And I told you the story. One guy that was in the World Series, and I told that story, did, in the middle of the game, on the pitcher's mound, he's communing with God while he's simply dominating the game pitching. Because God did it for His glory. Well, how about us? Can we, in our day-to-day life, walk with God in everything? Even at the barbershop? Now, come on, Dustin. Even at a barbershop? Yes, at a barbershop. Page from history. Stay with me. This is what Woodrow Wilson, one of our former presidents of the United States, is what he wrote. It's actually his writing. He told the story of being in a barbershop one time. Quote, I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a powerful personality had entered the room. A man had come quietly in upon the same errand as myself to have his hair cut, and he sat in the chair next to me. Every word the man uttered that was not in the least didactic It showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through with what was being done to me, I was aware that I had attended an evangelistic service because Mr. D.L. Moody was in that chair. He goes on and says, I purposely lingered in the room after he had left, and I noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the entire barbershop. They talked in undertones. They did not know his name. These men didn't even know who he was. Only Woodrow Wilson did. They didn't know his name, but they knew something had elevated their thoughts, and I felt, Woodrow Wilson, that I had left that place as though I had left a place of worship at a barbershop. By the grace of God, D.L. Moody was a light on a stand. He was a city on a hill. He was the salt of the earth. He was walking worthy or consistent of a life in Jesus Christ. So major point number one, walking worthily. Do you, brother, sister, do you live in balance with your calling? Are you walking in a worthy manner? All of us must ask that question. And we're all going to struggle with it at some level. All of us. Because we know there's so much more. I know that. I feel that. I've been in these Scriptures. I've been the one at the woodshed, as I like to say. I'm having to have these things sanctify me and arrest me and crush me, if you will. More grace. More to be a channel only. It's real. Nobody ever reads these and thinks, well, I'm there. D.L. Moody, if you'd ask him that afternoon, are you there, brother? He said, not nearly. Balanced, consistent, fitted to your Master, your Savior. That's part one. That's how to walk. That's how a Christian lives. A Christian's not worried about symbols and lingo and silly stuff out there. Christians are worried about walking like Christ. Second, a Christian is to walk in holiness. Boy, one way to cut through a lot of the rhetoric of today when you're talking to somebody who says they're a Christian is press in on how they're living in holiness. You will have people look at you straight now, no big deal, I'm a Christian, I'm living with the woman, I've lived with her 4 years. That's why when William and Kate got married a few years ago, I said, you mean to tell me they were living together? Whatever happened to royal manners for royal people? Give me a break, Great Britain. Did y'all just turn the other way? Man, the voices of Spurgeon in those men would rise up and say, wrong. Just like John the Baptist. It is not right for you to have your brother's wife. It's sin. It's wrong. And walking in holiness as though the Christian has to apologize or lightly peddle that out there? Come on. You'll hear people argue with you. Why don't you just back off and loosen up and be cultural, be cool, get some body paint on you or something. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's the heart. That's what I want to change. I want my heart like His. I don't want to be cool. If I have His heart, then I will be right to this world. Man, just to say walk in holiness causes a lot of people in their church to kind of put their head down like, come on, don't even go there. Two passages. We're going to let Peter talk to us now. The Holy Spirit through Peter. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner, it says, of conversation or of behavior. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. One other. 2 Peter 3. This is out of the ESV. Since all these things, Paul's been talking about the end of times. Mac even referenced this passage last week. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? There it is. It's commensurate. It's right. That's who you are. You are to be people of holiness and godliness. God is holy. Children, God is holy. God is perfect. And so the Christian has called us, been called into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and therefore their whole manner of behavior is to be holy. be ye holy. We are made in Christ to be like Him. Conformed to His image. Shaped, molded, made to be like Jesus Christ, loving what He loves. Worshiping or sharing, expressing what He expressed. Walking with others, strangers, people, treating them in the same way. I had another Jehovah Witness on my back porch again yesterday. Boy, it seems like they are coming around a lot these days. In my spirit, because I don't like their heresy and their lies, I have to be careful though. I have to walk in holiness and godliness. Even when I'm looking at a man that was older than I am, saying to him, you're holding to lies. I'm wanting to be sensitive to you. I want to be honest with you. But you're holding to heresy. Jesus is God in the flesh. Doesn't have to be argued over. It's there. It's in the Scriptures. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus didn't say, you know, Thomas, you kind of overstated that a little bit. He didn't say that to him. I don't want to chase the wrong thing. My point is, God is holy. His people pursue holiness. That's just who we are. That's who we are. That's what we've been made to be. Therefore, a Christian, I've already been saying this, a Christian would never make light of sin, right? Ha ha. Sin's not a ha ha. Quite the contrary. They hate it. They war against it. A Christian aims to kill it. Put that letter jacket and get rid of it. Burn that thing. You all have letter jackets in your previous background. I don't need to hear about them. Jesus Christ takes them all out of the way. He's taken them all on the cross, having nailed them to a cross, right? It's done. But we don't, as we go forth in new life and we grow in grace, we don't take sin lightly. Man, when you read the biographies of other Christians, men and women, they didn't take it lightly at all. Christians have been reading an old hardback, Streams in the Desert. Mrs. Charles Kalman, is that how you pronounce it? It was my grandmother's copy. I didn't know we had that. Man, where have I been? So I've been sneaking that thing, reading daily devotionals out of it. Whoa! It's just tremendous. And there is a spirit there of loving God with all the heart and cutting sin off. Whatever stumbles you, whatever's dangerous ground for you. Because it's to be ye holy in all manner of behavior is consistent with the character of God. Holiness, beloved, is purity. That means that which is without sin, that has not been soiled, that has not been tainted. Holiness is pursuing what is pure, what is right, what is godlike, if we can say it that way. Man. That's what he's saying in the first verse. 1 Peter 1:15, be ye holy in all manner of behavior. But what about the second passage, 2 Peter? What sort of people ought you to be? And the answer is, living in holiness and godliness. If the end is coming, and Jesus is returning, and all these things are truly going to happen, Peter says, then how do you spend your days? In all holiness and godliness. I think this is a true account of John Wesley. He was asked one week by somebody on a Sunday night. Lee might help me with this, but I'm going to get, I think, the yes. John Wesley was asked, brother, if you knew the Lord Jesus is coming back on Friday, what are you going to do? It might have been 3 days, whatever. But in the next few days, if God's coming or Jesus Christ is coming back, what are you going to spend your 4 or 5 days doing? He pulled his calendar out, his appointments out. It's a true story. Pretty much going to do that right there. Because I'm living in a way that I'm ready for Him. Wow. I carry a day timer. I'm getting old enough now that at my work, some people, he carries a day timer. That's okay. Works for me. It's what I grew up using. I write things down. I could go back and find them. Once your files corrupt, y'all go find them. You see if you can find them. Trust me, I got friends. They haven't been able to find them. I don't know. It was 5 years ago. I don't know. We changed servers or whatever. Okay. You get the point. A day timer. A day timer, it's got this record. And sometimes I'll be going back and I'm looking for a contact. And you think, when you write that down, you think of the profoundness of John Wesley saying, what I'm about, what my appointments, what my activities are about, are all about the kingdom anyway. That's good. In all holiness and godliness. That's how we spend our days. You don't have to go chase some prophecy genius, it's so called. Who's going to sell this? And I got to do this, got to sell all this. We're going to move on the mountain. Peter says, live today in all holiness and godliness, knowing that Jesus is coming back. The expectation is He is coming, and therefore the focus is how to live. We live being prepared to see God. Now that puts things in perspective, doesn't it? It puts our, and we talked about this with the men at the retreat. If our work is unto Him, if that part of our life, that calling, the kind of vocation of work, what we put our hands to, what we put our minds to, when we do it unto God, I've got meetings this week, I've got presentations this week, that's just a part of who I am. I've got to do that ultimately so that it's pleasing to God. It's for Him in all holiness and godliness. Now here's a beautiful picture. A chaste bride. A godly woman, young woman, keeps herself for her soon-to-be husband. Soon-to-be is whatever God has. But a chaste bride keeps herself. She possesses herself. And then if she's engaged and she's expecting that, she doesn't live in immorality. She keeps herself. She's guarded. She's cautious. She's holy. She anticipates and prepares for the great wedding day. That's what she looks to joyfully. And so she possesses herself. It's true, young men, for you too. It's masculine as well as feminine. But a chaste person preparing for marriage prepares for that coming together and that union. You get the picture, right? Peter is saying, guard yourself, keep yourself holy. Keep yourself in godliness for the reunion in Jesus Christ when He comes. So I close on this one, part two, point two, with this question. Are you walking in holiness? Do you think that way? Do you pray that way? Do you long for it that way? You're to walk worthy of Jesus Christ and you're to walk holy like Jesus Christ. Number three, I'll move along. You're to walk as an example. Chris is fixing to do a new cross stitch. I mean, she's got all these patterns, all these pieces. It's going to be awesome. And it's going to take a while. So, but she's got patterns. She does each of the patterns, cuts them all out, puts them all. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? We look at it. It's a pattern. But the ultimate fulfillment of it is when she does it, it portrays something. So we're to live as a pattern. We're to live as an example. Let me read two quick passages to you. Back to Peter, and then I'll read Paul's. 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. This is in the ESV. So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. First part of that. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. It's back to the same picture, the balance. The second passage, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. This is very pastoral to Timothy, but ultimately applies to every Christian. Let no one despise thy youth. Now that's to Timothy. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in behavior, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Those are the two key texts. Walk as an example. Brothers, sisters, it is biblical to aim to have an exemplary life in Jesus Christ. There can be a right way to view this. Stay with me here. It's not for your glory at all, but it's for the glory of Jesus Christ. Because if you're trying to be a pattern, live in a certain way, following Christ, it sets a pattern for those around you. And God will be glorified. And listen to this. Men will see their need to be saved. How can I even live that way? You can't unless Christ does a new birth or a miracle in your heart, takes you from death to life. So being an example is right. You don't spend your days thinking about that. You're to walk worthy of Him. You're to walk in His ways. You're to walk in holiness. But along the way, you are to realize you are a pattern for others. So a Christian is to walk as an example. So I go back and ask, why would I do certain things that the world does to try to relate to people at that level? I'm trying to get them to see, come out of that, come into the light of Jesus Christ. Man, there is just a messed up teaching of our day that you take Christianity and you just keep duping it down to where it becomes this cool, moldable thing, really trendy and chic, if you want to use that word, and it's just disgusting, it's wrong. It's dishonoring to the Scriptures and to the glory of Jesus Christ. That's not what He's called us out of, to go back into that. He's called us into holiness. To be an example, He's telling young Timothy, man, look at that list. What He says to him. But if we aim to walk as a pattern for others, this makes Jesus Christ very glorious, doesn't it? Especially if our spirit's right in it and all of our praises to Him. A Savior, this preaches to those around us that a Savior makes men or takes broken vessels and makes them vessels of honor now. Man, men take notice of that. They're thinking, could He change? Yes. Yes. You mean all my... Yes. Everything, even what I'm in right now? Yes. Come to Him. It's why Paul said, he was the chief of sinners, he said, look what I was doing. God had mercy on me. He said to be what? A pattern. That's what he says in the text. That I might be a pattern or an example of the grace of God. No man's beyond the grace of God. Period. Emotionally, psychologically, demonically, or anything. God rescues sinners. And therefore, if we're walking as an example, it's speaking to humanity around us, He can change me too. He can rescue me. Oh, it's powerful what Peter's saying. Brother, sister, you should live in such a way that though evil men try to slander you, they take shots at you, it will not bear out to be true. And in the end, it may very well be used of God to save them. Sometimes your greatest thorns, people against you, could be even in your extended family, will be the very ones that eventually, when you keep walking with God, you walk in holiness. You walk worthy of Him. And they may be rescued by the grace of God, and they will be your closest companion. Oh, my. Years ago, had a tape, listening to Charles Lauder preaching, and at the end, again, just stay with me, it's on some loose details, but he was using this as an illustration in your life. Be consistent. Continue on. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Speak to others that are perishing. Love those who are against you. There was a man that was going to the hospital, and he would go regularly, and he would speak to somebody. I don't know if it was a colleague. I can't remember the detail. The man was an ungodly man, but he went to minister to him, and he was tender with him. He'd speak to him, and he would always tell him of Christ. Come to Christ. Pray over him, or whatever he said, his parting words, and leave. The man in the bed, the sick man, had nothing to do with it. So finally, he came one time. He went in. He talked to him, visited. Never even shared the gospel with him. He got up to leave. He was walking to the door, and the man in the bed broke. No, you can't leave. You've got to tell me about Christ. You've got to. That was the day God rescued him. Sometimes, saints, he says that even though men speak evil against you, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Then he says to Timothy, be an example. You never know what it's doing in other people's lives. Oh my. In history, the ungodly men have been completely turned sometimes, the worst of men, to love the Christians they previously hated or even persecuted or killed. J.C. Ryle said it this way, men may refuse to see the truth of our arguments. Just like me yesterday with that man. Boy, the Holy Spirit was holding me back. I was trying to I'd say to him, I want to be gentle, I want to be honest, I want to be sensitive to you. Men may refuse to see the truth of our arguments, but they cannot avoid the evidence of a holy life. That's what J.C. Ryle said. That's right. They cannot avoid it. The evidence of a holy life. Because it's impossible in the human dynamic. You can't do that by yourself. You can say unequivocally to Gandhi and all the other madmen that have lived and said, just live this way. You can say to him, it's impossible. You must be born again. You have to be a new creation in Christ. And when we are, you live differently. It's put on display. You talk differently. You love differently. You help people differently. And therefore, the evidence of a holy life cannot be argued with. Let me finish with these six characteristics that he gives to Timothy. He is to be a model in areas. Six areas. To be a model. To be a pattern. To be a template. Who was it recently told me? I remember you talking about those circle templates you used in my early years of drafting and drawing. Oh man, we had all kinds of tools. And that template that's a 3/4 inch circle, it didn't change. Still hadn't. You won't find it in my attic or wherever it is. It hadn't changed. 3/4 inch. These are the patterns that Paul's giving. Word. Be thou an example, he says to Timothy, in word. His manner of speaking. Be thou an example in behavior. King James says in conversation, but the word is behavior. Timothy, saints of Denton, be thou an example in your daily life, your behavior, your conduct. Third, charity, love. Be thou an example in being those marked by love. Oh my. Sermon after sermon on that. Fourth, be thou an example in spirit. ESV doesn't have that one in there. It's a little differently, but in spirit, in spiritual zeal, in what you're earnest about. Fifth, faith. Be thou an example in faith. Trusting, believing, resting on what God says. God said it. I said to the man on my porch, that's not what the Scriptures say. Somewhere along the way, he said, you know a lot of Scriptures. And I said to him, well, it's the Word of God. It's what I'm speaking from. It's His Word. Faith. Have an absolute devotion in faith. Timothy, saints, be thou an example. Purity. A blameless way of life. Beloved, you're to walk as an example. Keep the right view. Not for the praise of you, but the praise of Jesus Christ. That men would know He can't do that Himself. Something miraculous is at work in Him or her. Let me close. How a Christian lives? They walk worthy. They walk in holiness and they walk as an example. Remember, each of you here today, as a Christian, your life is a living sermon. Praise be to God, it's of Him. It's a living sermon. People do watch. Your Savior, who Jesus Christ is so often judged by your life, your words, your conduct. So never underestimate this. Your salt. Your light. A holy life is a sermon to this perishing world. Preach well, beloved. Live well. Let Jesus Christ be put on display. Amen. Let me pray. Father, again, in Your Word, it's so clear, so direct, that having been called into Your kingdom, having been born from above, having been changed truly from death to life, we are to live like You. We're to be conformed to Your image, Lord. We want to walk in these things. We want to walk worthy of our vocation. We want to walk worthy of the gospel. Yes, Father, we want to walk in all ways that's pleasing and consistent with You. Lord, we want to walk in holiness. We want to know more of these realities. No matter where we are in our age, what things have been fighting and hurting us, against us, things that we've struggled with. Lord, give victory, give grace to walk in holiness. Don't let anybody today leave today defeated, but renewed in faith, believing You for great things. And Father, we do want to be an example, a pattern. We want to live in such a way that You're put on display, You're honored, You're given the praise. that Jesus Christ is seen to be the true one and only Savior. Oh Lord, we love You. We follow You. We commit this to You. For the glory of Your name, we ask. Amen.